fucked it up as usual.
Hello and welcome to Pork Therapy.
Yes, fucking it up is a great way to start off the show.
Yeah, the whole show's a fuck up, and then Ryan was fucking up.
And we are fuck ups too.
It's Mike here.
Yes, and this is Stephanie.
And
welcome to our Pork Therapy podcast, where we're getting you on the Pork Therapy couch.
Because the communication is
key
in all
relationships. Yes, that was a triple threat. That was awesome.
That was Kevin Dean's magical voice you heard in the background.
Yes, that's right. We
Thank you for joining us again.
To have Kevin here again, and we're happy that he's here. And I just said that.
I'm happy that you said that you're happy.
Again, we're redundantly repeating ourselves as we do best on Pork Therapy. So what are we talking about today, Mike?
Okay, today a listener, thankfully, sent us a question, a very simple, well, not even a question, a statement, a topic, and it's meeting new people.
Yeah, that's a pretty simple topic.
Yeah, and it's actually really vague, so I think what we're going to
yes.
do is combine...
all of our questions are vague. Nobody really communicates
no,
their
not,
questions.
No, not one question about the meaning of love with individual sovereigns and all that. That was very specific.
No, that was long-winded, but
oh.
it was still vague.
Oh, okay, good point. Okay, so what we're gonna do with this one,
we'll
meeting
take whatever
new
we can get here, really, guys.
We're gonna link it with another topic that someone suggested, which is we shortened it to luck versus action. But the
yes,
question, the
so we'll
question,
talk about what that means.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So right, the suggestion that we got through our Facebook page, which you can go to facebook.porktherapy.com, is drop a little plug in there. Is how to meet new people. And what do you guys think? How do you meet new people?
Well,
I mean, I assume they're talking about meeting new people to date, but I guess they could be talking about
you know,
just
it's,
meeting
well,
friends.
It's so vague. Right? It doesn't know. Doesn't say.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to cover all the bases then. We'll have to figure out what he means.
The show is about relationships and relationships.
No, the show
know,
is about figging.
We're still on that. Still don't know what figging is.
I still don't know what it is either. No figging this episode. Figging is banned.
Yes.
Kevin, what are you saying?
Oh,
that's fascist policy.
I don't remember anymore. The figging distracted me.
Well, figure it out. I'm sorry, Kevin. What, really, think about it. What were you saying?
I've
made it difficult for you.
No, I think that the subject is vague enough that it could apply to other things. Without knowing the person, you know,
right.
you know the context.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say we could cover it from different.
Well, let me
because
mm-hmm.
and it does play into different things and how relationships evolve. Oh, okay.
Let me
see. I think this question has a very very simple answer. The interwebs.
Done.
That's how
you
meet people.
Yeah, the internet. That's all you need to know.
No, seriously, because whether you're looking for like a knitting buddy or a tennis partner, or you're looking for a sex partner or a romantic relationship, or you're looking for activists to network with, or you know, just friends who share your value system with, whatever.
Well, I think that's a cop out.
No, I think it's a solution.
Well,
it's not
yeah,
the
well,
answer.
I would,
no, it's the answer.
The question was phrased more like meeting new people, not finding people with shared interests.
Good point.
So, look, I would suspect the person who's asking the question would be more concerned about the social interaction. Like, how do I introduce myself to people? How do I strike up conversations? I always tend to find people with common interests. Like, I don't just,
mm-hmm.
I'll chat and greet strangers, but I tend to gravitate towards people who have similarities to me, and those similarities
yeah.
tend to be the foundations of our relationships.
I'm going to presume that the person's asking this question because he has a problem meeting new people. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use me. I'm going to give a little background of me, and because I think I'm a really good example. Although you guys might need to ask questions
He's
to pry it out.
Poster boy.
I might
we'll
be. Check this
out.
So I live in New Hampshire now, and I moved here for the Free State Project. Look it up.
Yes.
And
I think we all did.
I lived in a...
You're on the couch.
I lived in a city of with a population...
You're
not sorry at all. It's not stopped. So I eat cabbage, and my left elbow hurts, and it's raining outside. Look at this. No interruption when I'm talking about bullshit. Talk about something meaningful. I can't get three words out. See?
Get a piece of duct tape. You're going to need it.
Oh man!
Oh, okay. You can put your hand over my mouth.
Or you know I will. And
or
somewhere
get,
else.
Get a piece of ginger.
Oh man!
Mike, go ahead.
Okay.
Continue.
So I lived in a city with a population of about 75,000 to 150,000, depending on the season. And I lived there for 6 years, and voluntarily, I knew no one. No one in the entire city, in the entire valley. I was essentially a hermit. You know, I didn't... you can interrupt. It's okay. I chose not to know anyone.
I wasn't interrupting. I was just laughing.
You know, I didn't know my neighbor's names, although I recognized them and waved. I worked out of my home, so I never went anywhere. I never went to places. I didn't have hobbies. I didn't really do anything outside of my home for 6 years. And, you know, it sounds unbelievable, but it's almost literally true. I mean, every day I biked to the gym, which was within my gated community for 2 hours or whatever. Mm. And that's it. And then when I moved to New Hampshire, for some reason, everything changed. I became incredibly social. I hated driving before. Now I drive hundreds of miles per week. Mm-hmm. I go to social events. I go to activism events. I'd never stood up to the government before. I meet new people. I go to parties. I do things that I haven't done before.
You are a super activist.
I'm not a super activist.
Everybody knows it.
Well, but and it's irrelevant. But as far as meeting new people, well, I have hundreds of acquaintances now and friendly people, and I have many, numerous, really good friends.
Yeah.
And we could even take this question to be less general and talk about meeting new people romantically, mm-hmm. because I had girlfriends when I lived in this desert, although she lived 500 miles away, mm-hmm. and we took turns seeing each other. And for about
you're
a year...
You're a nice lady, by the way.
Oh, I met her. And then for about a year and a half before I moved here, I was single, or maybe a year or something. And when I got here, I was not thinking romantic. I was not looking for romance. I was not interested in a relationship or sex at all.
That's a really
and yet
good point.
It found me.
Yes, that is such a good point because I think they always find you when you're not looking for them.
And
that is the key. Just stop looking and it'll find you.
Well, I think we're tying the two things sort of in there, like the luck versus action.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
And, let's deal with both. I really don't think there is such thing as luck. I think there is the kind, you know, the mannerisms you put out, the patterns you look for. But if you're not open to relationships and being involved with people and just talking and all that, you're not going to find somebody who does that. So if you are being quiet, not trying to meet people, you're not going to meet people.
Right. I mean,
yes, that is absolutely true.
First of all, let me redefine luck. I didn't mean it as in you flip a coin, it comes up tails, and you're going to meet someone that day. I meant. Let's take a couple who's been in love for 10 years. Was it luck that they very first met, or was it due to their actions?
Yeah, I think they're different, but the same thing. Like everything happens because of causal relationships that happened before that. Mm-hmm. I think that you know the human brain is wired for more
that
sounds.
Was like a bong fart.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, simultaneous, wow.
In stereo.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why. Can you guys do that again? Probably not.
Wow.
I was just lucky. Oh no, it wasn't. No, it was actually.
Yeah, it was not.
Continue, Kevin.
But yeah, I was saying that I think the human brain is wired for patterns, and when you're looking for social opportunities, you find social opportunities that you may not have before that, and that can be the aspect of luck, I guess, are you looking for what you want to find when it presents itself.
Yeah, so you're generally putting yourself out there. Are you switched into that mode of, okay, I'm open to something happening. Not necessarily I'm desperate to meet someone.
I don't think that's enough because let's say this person who asked this question is open to meeting people but doesn't know how. They're not going to. So open is important, but it's not adequate.
I think you have to
put yourself in a place or position to be able to meet people. However, I'm not suggesting go to a bar. I'm suggesting do things that interest you where other people are around. So, like, if you do like knitting, go to a knitting bee. Go to a knitting store to buy supplies.
Yes.
Go do something that has to do with knitting, and other people who enjoy it will also be there, and you won't be able to help but meet people.
That is the best advice I could give on this. Absolutely. I agree. Like, every time people ask me for advice about this question, they say, like, oh, how do I meet... For instance, one of my family members said, like, I really want to meet a Jewish guy. And I said, okay, well, go to synagogue every week.
Right.
Or go find, like, a Jewish group that is social group.
Go volunteer at Hebrew school.
Right.
Do things that you enjoy anyway
or that you're interested in. And you'll meet people with common interests.
Right.
And the same goes for, I think the converse is true. Like, sometimes, you know, I've heard the example, I don't really know any women who do this personally, but I've heard the example of women who don't really like sports, hang out at sports bars so they can pick up guys. Which is kind of a fail, because, like...
Well, it depends on what they want. They pick up a guy, but the
guy's really interested in sports. The girl's kind of misrepresenting herself there, because he's interested in sports, she's not, but yet she went to a sports bar to meet him, and so he might have the reasonable expectation that she was going there because she wanted to be
right.
there, not just because she was there to pick up a guy. Like,
and not only is she misrepresenting herself, she's finding people who are going to have interests that she doesn't like.
Well, I think that's really self-defeating, too. In a much more negative way, my stepmother used to find alcoholics by going to bars. And she
intentionally?
I think that's probably
subconscious. I think subconsciously there were traits she was looking for, that traits of alcoholism that presented themselves and how she saw that. But, I mean, really, when you're going to interpass issues, she had alcoholism and you know, all that. So she was not picking from the best pool.
Well, it still is a common interest, though.
No, ironically, I don't know your grandma, but let's say she was an alcoholic. Ironically, she would then be going to places with people with similar interests.
Right, yeah, that's exactly.
Well, there is that.
But it manifests in a negative way, because it's a self-destructive interest.
But she was,
right.
But she was also looking to escape that. She saw being in relationships with alcoholics as destructive to her.
And yet she did.
Yet she did not recognize the patterns that kept pulling in those things.
Sometimes it's so hard to recognize your own foibles and your own, like, bad, destructive patterns.
It's even hard to accept them when a friend points them out, actually.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's definitely true.
And stop interrupting me.
What are you talking about? Stop criticizing me. No, we're just kidding. There's a lot of love here on the pork therapy couch. We're not criticizing.
Not literally.
Yeah,
or yes, literally.
Well, we'll leave that up to you to decide.
So, but you said something before this, which was you have to be open to meeting people, and I think that's hugely important, too. Because let's say you're interested in knitting, and you go to a place where knitting, you know, other people who like it go, like a knitting store or whatever, and you're not if you're not open to meeting people, you're going to go there, you're going to buy your crap, you're going to pay and leave. You're not going to say, oh, you like this yarn, too, or I don't know anything about knitting.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, you're not going to be talking to people. You're not going to meet them if you're not also open to it.
And that can be as simple as body language. Like, for example, someone that I know, we were discussing something, and he was saying that he believes that he comes off as just not open to meeting. He's looking for a woman to date in this case. And he says he comes off as not open because of his body language, and that he's somehow shutting off his body language, and it's making, you know, other people
turn away, ignore him,
or not be up for meeting him, I guess. I definitely did not explain that in the best, most succinct way, but
do you mean like if you're open to meeting people and you go to places where people have similar interests and then you lean against a corner and cross your arms and frown, it's not going to work.
You're not inviting them to action.
Right. Yes. Even if you're open to it, you also have to act it. And this kind of goes.
And that's like more than, I would say that's more than 50% of communication.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. Is how your body presents itself.
But in terms,
it goes back to flirting too, right? If you're flirting with someone, your body language is saying you're open to meeting someone, you're open to maybe developing a relationship with them.
I think
when
we talked about flirting and mentioned body language, I think we said that it's not sufficient, though. It can also be
misread,
so you also have to communicate well. But
it
helps.
Yeah, but I would stand by my original statement that it's more than half of communication.
Yes.
And that's why sometimes, this might be a little bit of an aside, but that's why sometimes it is so hard to have good communication on internet chat.
Oh.
When you're chatting with someone, this is a great example. You hate chatting with
me. I hate text chatting because
you hate it. You would so much rather.
Phone is better than chat,
and video chat is better than phone chat. Because the more you can see of the person's body language, the better you can understand what they're trying to communicate. And I absolutely agree with you. Even though I chat you all the time at work.
No, I don't mind chatting, but to have any kind of serious or important conversation, I just refuse. I say, all right, let's talk on the phone, or let's meet in person, let's stop chatting. Because I miscommunicate, I misunderstand, sarcasm doesn't communicate, humor doesn't always communicate
in
text, it just sucks.
Yeah, sarcasm
but,
is worse.
this is totally off topic, but as a side of that, I prefer text because when you're in a face-to-face in a conversation, people assume that what they're reading from you is what you're sending out. But on the internet, you don't know. So people ask for clarification when in certain situations they might not.
Well, and also you can think about what you're going to say before you say it a little bit more than a face-to-face, right?
Right. And also, there are benefits. You can also refer back to what you said and see if you made a mistake and correct yourself.
Yeah.
But as far as
on the record,
direct,
for better or for worse,
immediate communication, you don't get gestures, you don't get facial expressions.
Oh, I
don't
I,
get
that's
information.
Why, but, no, that goes back to emoticons, though. I mean, emoticons are huge in that. I think that's the body language of the interwebs.
It may be the body language of the interwebs, but it still sucks because I know two people, and one person uses the smiley for a joke, and one uses it for sarcasm. So it's the exact same smiley. How am I supposed to know?
Yeah, I remember back when I was chatting a lot with one particular person on BlackBerry Messenger, which is the little AIM of the BlackBerry phone, and this person would use the shocked face, the one with the little open mouth. Yes, exactly. Oh my God!
Alarm!
I'd have a shocked face if I just saw that alarm going off. But this person would use the shocked face. Like I would write him a text, and he would reply with the shocked face, like almost no matter what I said. And it got to the point where it was just like, this is so ridiculous. Why am I even bothering to message him? Because he'll just, I know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
He's going to do the shock face no matter what I say. And he was actually using that as a way to deflect something that was serious that I was bringing up. So that's a good example of why.
That's a good example of something that has nothing to do with this episode.
Yes.
We're going to imagine have another half-hour episode about the topic that wasn't asked.
So what was the original?
We actually covered it well, but we're not done.
We were talking about
meeting people, open, putting yourself, doing things you like where other people are, and being open. Oh, and so I was going to say that being open, like let's say you like knitting and you go to a knitting store and you have body language that's more open, and you go up and say, hi, how you doing? And I like the project you're working on. Let's, find some commonality or whatever. You know, at least make small talk. That can be hard for some people, that making small talk. They might be, I don't know what they could be afraid of. Maybe rejection, maybe embarrassment, maybe condescension. I don't know.
I think a lot of that comes to self-consciousness. Like you want to start up a conversation, have an interaction or a dialogue with somebody, and you don't want to turn them off instantly. And if you don't feel confident in what you're talking about, you may feel that you're going to be doing that right off the bat.
That's true, but actually doing things that you enjoy should help
alleviate
that. Exactly,
and that's why I say that's a cornerstone of mine. You say you don't understand how it changed so much moving here. Well, you moved into a place where people were so ideologically similar and driven by a common interest.
Yeah,
that
that's
it's
true.
Impossible not, true. I think it's almost impossible not to build those connections afterwards.
Within this community,
And likewise, you should be confident when you're doing something that you like. So that kind of builds the confidence and it builds the drive to create the dialogue and meet people and be open to it and get the body language right and all those things. So I would say that's a cornerstone.
Yeah. And I think if you are afraid of talking to strangers, making small talk, taking the chance that, hey, I might like this person, I'll talk, and they might not like me back.
Practice.
Not only practice, talk to yourself in the mirror, go talk to strangers who you know that you don't want to have a chance with just to try things out, try it with your friends.
Yeah.
But also, Just ask yourself what you're afraid of. What is the loss? Right now you have no one.
Good point.
Yes. And if you go meet them and they say no, you have no one. What is the loss?
And if you don't try, you definitely have no
one. Right.
Whereas if you do try, you might have someone. There's a small chance that it might work.
I mean, it's
not a small chance.
It probably takes a change in your mindset, but,
attitude
be
is
the change,
I've
as
seen,
Gandhi said.
I've seen
or,
very, very, I've seen particularly men who, women too, but, people who I thought were not physically attractive, and then I talked to them, and I realized that they were very confident, very self-assured, and interesting to talk to, and fun, and intelligent. And I thought, wow, this person's attractiveness just went up 10,000% because they're projecting this awesome image, and I love that. And conversely, I've seen people who I thought, wow, that person is really hot, and so I've gone to talk to them, and then, you just don't click. And they have no conversation skills or,
whatever.
Or
they're conceited or whatever.
Oh, yeah, or they're conceited or they're a statist
or
whatever.
Or they're flakes.
Or they're flakes, that's right.
And then they become less attractive even physically in your mind.
Oh, yeah, that is absolutely true. 100%. The intellectual image that I have of a person definitely impacts how I view their physical attractiveness. I don't know if it's that way for everybody, but
it probably is for me.
Yeah. I've seen beautiful people become ugly and ugly people become beautiful, basically. It was a roundabout way of saying
what a beautiful world.
I love it when Mike sings on the podcast. First he sang I Kissed a Guy. Now he's singing What a Beautiful World, and that's not even a real song.
And those two songs aren't related. It is. It's by Satchmo.
I thought
it's
it was
song.
A Wonderful World.
What a... What? Oh,
No.
Oh, we're good.
Wow, it didn't fuck up. It's a miracle.
Our equipment is playing with us. Here, let's turn that off. So, are we? Do we have anything else to talk about? Meeting new people.
Meeting new people. I think there was something we were going to cover. Well, the luck versus action thing.
Okay.
When you meet new people.
We haven't talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that. All right. Fair enough. I think we're done.
Oh, okay. Well.
Good job.
We're all on things to talk about.
Yes. Let's pat ourselves on the back. If a porcupine pats itself on the back, does it hurt itself?
I don't know. Is that what figging is?
Very careful.
No. Go look it up on Wikipedia. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for
all
asking
I'm gonna
that
say
question.
Is freshly peeled ginger. Three words.
Freshly peeled ginger. Three words.
Yes.
That's five words.
We need to treat this topic gingerly because it's.
Oh, I figured you'd say that. I used your own pun.
Mom, I used it first.
Yeah. You figged it first.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
That's it.
We're
not going to subject you to any more torture.
Well, we are, but not this episode.
Yes.
Send us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com.
Your verbal flogging.
Verbal?
Shut up.
You can visit us at porktherapy.com.
Porktherapy, what he said. Go to our Facebook page. Facebook.porktherapy.com.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.porktherapy.com.
We can announce, you can get updates when we get our new episodes.
That's
out.
Right.
Just what you wanted.
And I'm going to suggest something and see if this flies. If you send us your questions, it's questions@porktherapy.com, but if you want to also guest host with us, just let us know.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because likely if you're listening to this podcast, you're part of the inner circle. And you know us already, and you could easily become a guest host. But if not, you'll have to send us an application form, right?
Oh, that's right, and we'll need your social security number, we'll need
an essay question is, what does figging mean to you?
And include a picture.
Yes.
Thanks for guest hosting with us, Kevin.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kevin.
And thanks for listening.
Yeah. See you next time.
Bye.